It is now being recorded. There, and if that recording doesn't work because it's happened to me before, I'm going to record it on this one. And record. I got 6 hours. Think 6 hours will be enough? Let me tell you. Kim, look at this right here. Look at this. Is that right? All right. All right, nice. Perfect. Well, welcome, everybody. I want to thank you all for being here, regardless if you've heard it from a friend, you heard it from me. I don't know how you heard about it, maybe online. Thank you for being here, because I, myself, am very, very, very passionate about this topic, as you will see, because I have, as what we call, I've learned to call, the gift. And because of that, I'll probably forget why you're here. Joking. But, you know, in all intents and purposes, I want to really start off by giving you a picture of the challenges that you can have when you have something that's diagnosed as ADHD. And Ned and I both feel strong that ADHD is not a disease. It's not a condition. It's a state. It's the way that you are. And when you start to make that consideration and you start to accept that, things become a lot easier, I guess you can say, in life. See, just because I denied it my whole entire life, I was always told that I had ADHD, right? So I'll give you, for instance, I was always that, and this will be the characteristic of a child. So when I tell my story, and usually when I tell my story, it's, people, you know, they kind of connect to it because they said, yeah, you know what, that's me. And I was a young child, always kind of the life of the party, right? I these children tend to be very outgoing. They have great personalities. And when you're a child, that personality, they're very charismatic. There's going to be a few more people coming in, so can we just maybe grab a couple of the extra chairs out of the rooms and just put them to the back? Just the brown ones. All right, thanks. Thanks, Anna. You're welcome. So these children, when they're young, and when I was young, I was called the class clown, right? I was young, everybody loved me, I was always making jokes, I would always take things too far, right? Where I remember one time I'm dancing, and then, you know, my cousin at the time, it was a girlfriend, everybody's laughing, they were sitting there on the couch, and I slapped her butt. And they're like, my father, I remember the thing that he said, he's like, listen, what are you doing? And everybody, I'm dad, everybody was laughing, it was funny, everybody laughed at it. He's like, you cross boundaries, you always cross boundaries. And then, you know, I start to hear these things, and then, you know, then a little bit later on in life, I interject when people are talking, and then I'm acting out at school, and I always got, you're always like this, you got to settle down, you, and I start to have this beautiful personality that I thought, and I was always having fun. Now I'm starting to kind of get classed and beat down, and emotionally, through my mind, I'm starting to say, well, something's wrong with me. So as you're going through school, right now I'd never read well, so I was always put in these tier one classes, or these reading for slow people is what I thought, right? So I would only then work to the level of reading, and I would only put the effort in that the amount of work that was given to me. So I never thought that I had a problem. I just thought that I just didn't have to apply myself. So then I went down a grade, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is great. I don't have to work as hard. So then, you know, so then I got so much less work, and I was always taken out of classes, taken out of a situation for an ADD child. Very, very good. So I could do whatever I wanted to. And then the problem is with the ADD child, the brain is on supercharge. It's fast, and it puts things together. So then what ended up happening is I started being able to manipulate things. So now I'm starting to become a problem child. You know, I have this charismatic, fun child, and then I started to become I consciously became a problem child. And I started acting out, and then I started getting in fights, and it was just, life just, you know, I wasn't the same child. So then, now, you know, and I was still having fun, still have a class clown, but now going through high school, what happens is you start to, going into high school and college is a very interesting time for an adolescent. It's, you're not a child anymore, where now you're under the guidance of your family and in the house. Now what's happening is you got to figure out a path. And without a path, and not, you know, having the confidence to think that you're ever added up to anything, now depression sets in, anxiety sets in. So now I'm putting myself into the room, locking myself in the room, having anxiety attacks, you know, hyperventilating. Now I'm this stress bag, right? Like, you go from being this happy-go-lucky child that everybody loves to this emotional mess down the road. And then you bring that through adulthood, and you bring that into college, and as you can see, I mean, I don't need to paint the picture, but, you know, it becomes a very, very challenging situation. So, and I still denied it my whole entire life. And even up until that point, went through chiropractic school, learned about health and wellness. You know, that's a whole story in itself. And I was really guided there. And then I, you know, still went into practice. Actually, you know, the ADD child loves to just jump in and do it. You know what I mean? They love the beginning and the end. They don't, the stuff in the middle is like, it's boring. Right, so they love to start a whole bunch of things. So I'm like, oh, I'm just going to stop my practice. So I didn't even graduate school. So I hadn't even taken my class 4 boards yet. And I'm thinking, I'm like, what am I going to do? I'm like, I want to open up my own practice. So where do I want to open up my own practice? At this point, it was Lynnfield, Massachusetts. So I said, picked on a map, and I said, Lynnfield. One chiropractor was in Lynnfield, two at the time. So I said, you know what, out of everybody in the phone book, I'm going to call one person. So I called that person. I had lunch with him. Just so happened he was selling his practice, and I bought his practice while I was still in school, sitting at a bar table, right? He made me an offer. Weirdest situation in my life. I accepted it. And then I finagled as much as I could, and my parents helped me out at the beginning. I was still in school, and I bought the practice. You know, and so I just threw myself into it. And, you know, then I was getting into practice emotionally. I thought I was there. But when there's something that's called unexplained underachievement. Does anybody know what that is? When you keep working and working and working hard. Theater 100. Everybody at UMass Amherst. Oh, yeah. Pass Theater 100. I have to write an essay. I write an essay because the way my mind was, it was very, very, you know, I explain everything. In a child with ADD, they love to justify things. So I explain things. I explain the heck out of it. And when I had to sit there and write an essay, I was done. I would always get all red all over it. It would just always be mocked up because I talk in stories, and the way that I saw what they were teaching me was totally different. That's unexplained underachievement. You think you do so good, you put so much effort, and you're thinking you're going to get an A on that essay. That's right. You think you're going to get an A on that essay, and it comes back, and the whole entire thing is mocked up with red, and you get a CD. That's unexplained underachievement. So then when that happens through life, and it happens, and it keeps happening, and it keeps happening, and then now I'm in practice, and, you know, everybody around you thinks you're successful, but still, inside turmoil, you still don't think that you're good enough because of the stuff that you live through the school, and everything has never really come to a head, and I never understood anything. Then I met Ned Hallowell, and he was at a seminar, and I was going through a lot of personal coaching type stuff at this time. And I said, Ned, let me ask you a question. I said, this whole ADD thing, do you think I have it? He's like, after talking to you for two minutes, I knew you had it. Of course you have it. I'm like, what do you mean I have it? I mean, you didn't diagnose me. I didn't go on everything. He's like, you have it. But the problem is you're looking at it as a deficit. You're looking at it as a problem. And you need to look at it as a strength. And he started talking to me, and he's like, "This is what I want you to do." He's like, "You got to find your purpose in life." And I said, "Purpose? Everybody talks to me about purpose." I was in this whole group that was like, "Purpose? You got to find your purpose. What do you have? What do you put on this planet for?" I'm like, "Who? That's how's that going to help my practice? Knowing, or how's that going to help me in life? Knowing what I'm put on this planet for? I know what I'm putting on this planet for. I'm fine." He's like, "No, find it." So after my quest and a lot of money later, I sent myself to a retreat up in Utah, a yoga retreat, learned how to meditate. No, not yoga, a meditation retreat. Learned how to find my why, found my purpose. Once I found direction in life, now, you align your purpose with your passion, and you'll never work another day in your life. That is when this gift becomes a machine. And you will become the most productive thing at what you love to do than anybody else around you. Let me take that and bring that back to a child. So when you look at this brain in a child's light, if they're into a game, right, or they're into doing something, you can say, John, and they physically don't hear you because they're so focused on what they're doing. So, you can functionally, they physically get so involved and so driven into a direction, almost hyper-focus. So when you take that hyper-focus and you bring it to something that you're passionate about in life, then it makes a huge change in an adult's life. When I'm working with a child, it's difficult because a child hasn't had the ups and downs and the unexplained underachievement. It's tough for me to get that child to understand a why in direction, right? So I have to work more on the families and the adults in that situation to be able to build the guide work and the framework around that. And that's some of the stuff we're going to be talking about tonight. Any questions to this point before we get going? That's easy. Now, for those of you that have heard me speak before, for those of you that haven't heard me speak before, because this is what I talk about, we're actually changing our mission statement now. I mean, a mission, let me give you my personal purpose statement. I'm a person of passion, that's my verb. I express my sole purpose by removing interference and connecting people to the energy of their creator. I stand for manifesting healthy lifestyle habits to help people maximize their true life potential. So that is why I was put on this planet. Regardless if I was a chiropractor doing that, if I was a massage therapist doing that, if I was a health coach doing that, I want to remove interference and connecting people. When I was 5 years old, I packed up my Aunt Joanne's cigarettes and I threw them away. I would throw soda away. I would dump milk out of the refrigerator. I'd get rid of, a medicine cabinet. What the heck's a medicine cabinet? I would get rid of that stuff. I was always doing that. So I knew some way, shape, or form I was focused and put on this planet for health and wellness. So once I found that clarity, that's really what really drove me. And then we're actually changing the mission statement of the practice to really kind of home in on this number one defining characteristic of your health and well-being. What do you think it is? Those of you that have heard me speak, number one defining characteristic, this drives how healthy you're going to be, drives how healthy everybody is going to be.
Your mindset,
your beliefs. Thank you. Your belief. Why is your belief your number one defining characteristic of your health and well-being? Because it drives your habits, your daily rituals. You are a product of your daily rituals. What you do on a daily basis, ritualistically, your body adapts to. Let me give you a for instance. Anybody see Super Size Me? So you take an individual and you eat McDonald's and you keep eating it and you keep eating it. That body is going to adapt in a good way or a bad way. Do you think if I put an individual right here that was a Super Size Me individual, and then we look at Kim, do you think I could tell without saying, I'm going to say, okay, somebody's eating McDonald's every day for the last 54 days. Do you think we would be able to tell which person it is? It is that simple. Your life adapts to your daily habits and your daily rituals. So whether you have diabetes, whether you have high blood pressure, insulin issues, or you have constipation, diarrhea, allergies, fibromyalgia, whether you have any of that, it is the way your body has adapted to your daily rituals. Okay? It's complicated how that happens, but that ultimately is how it works. So that is my firm belief. Now, where do we live? United States. Where does the United States rank on the 50 healthiest countries in the world? 49. Well, it's very important to know that because the people around you define your belief system. So everybody around us, so you look to your right, you look to the left, rank 51. We don't even rank on the 50 healthiest countries in the world as of 2014 based on life expectancy. So we think, oh, we're getting healthier and we're living longer. It's not true. Not this country. We take the most amount of pharmaceutical medication out of any other country in the world. Now, if you get sick or you have a life-threatening disease or an illness, where do you want to be? We have the best sick care system in the world, the United States. We have a horrible health care system. We have a horrible health care system because what it is, remember, we're a product of our daily rituals. You know, if your body is acidic through your lifestyle long enough, what's going to happen? Muscle inflammation, cholesterol is going to increase, cancers. So your body being out of balance is what causes all of these chronic illness. And what I want you to understand is just as your body adapts to that, your brain chemistry in your body adapts in this ADHD. I hate using the word ADHD because ultimately I think it really puts a negative connotation. Creative brain. So this creative brain, right, is you kind of live under that. I lost my train of thought, but. The creative brain, right? So there are three cardinal traits to the creative brain in order to have ADHD. Forget it. I'm just going to go there. Whatever. So it's distractibility is one of them, right? Impulsivity. I mean, everybody's distractible, right? I was that kid. You listen to the teacher. I can listen for like 5 minutes. And then all of a sudden, the butterfly outside, and I'm like, oh, my God, look at the butterfly, right? And I'm like, oh, wow, I wonder where that butterfly is going. Oh, wow, the wind. It's hot in here. What, the fan? Carmine, how you doing? What are we going to do? What are you guys doing talking? And then, are you paying attention? What time do you come in? Oh, what's going on? I love the pink. Oh, how's Mark doing? Is he okay with this hip? So all these things go through your mind, very distractible. And I'm going to turn it on the flip side and tell you why that's such a positive. And then impulsive. I can tell you a very impulsive... Forget it. All right. I am very impulsive in nature, and I've always been impulsive as a child, too. And I would do very, very impulsive things. Let's just put it that way. My mother was in the audience, and she's like, never tell that story again, so I won't. And then hyperactive. I'm the guy, like two mornings ago, 6 o'clock in the morning, right? I'm like dancing, and my other girl has a gift. She's dancing, and we're sitting there. She's brushing her teeth. I'm singing a song, And my wife comes over, and my other daughter, what are you guys doing? And I'm like, you know, she's like, no, way too early. Because you just have a lot of energy from the time you wake up in the morning and the time you go to sleep. Now, that energy is there, but what happens is, and this is something new that I'm going to be talking about tonight that I've never talked about in kind of the ADHD realm, because it is extremely important to understand adrenal fatigue when we're talking about ADHD as an adult, because that energy, right, will then kind of kick into the adrenal glands, and you will become very, very exhausted as a state, not being able to deal with the ADHD effectively. So, yes, you have a lot of energy, but then you sit on the couch and you'll be able to fall asleep. Now, when you work with this effectively, you're able to take that energy from day one, I mean, from the morning all the way through the afternoon. I mean, I woke up at 5 this morning. Had to do some work on the computer for work, had a meeting in the morning, came to work, you know, adjusted 80, 90 people, and now we're, you know, here and giving a talk, and I'll go home, eat some dinner, which is a little too late, and me and my wife will hang up and we'll talk, and bang, then when I'm done, I'm done. but that's good. But energy is another one. Other common traits, difficulty time planning, procrastination. So, like this thing, right? I should have had my speaker set up, but no, I did it when everybody was coming in the door. Procrastination is one way that these children or even these adults were drawn to adrenaline, and you'll see in a second here. It's the way that we self-medicate. But cluttered space. Decided to have a lot going on, you know, always starting something. You always got to be doing something. Because if you're not doing something, try to, how many people in here at this point think they have ADHD?
No.
Yeah, well, come on, we've talked about that many times. So, how many of you love to just, you know, how many of you think you can meditate? Yeah, I know. I mean, the thought of me even thinking about meditation was like, ah, right? I'd sit there and I'd be like, oh my God, okay, what's going on? The wind, breeze. Just like I was sitting in my, Theater 100 class. You're sitting there and you just get so distracted. You're like, I can't do this. It's so stupid. What am I doing here? I'm thinking about everything. I can't relax. So your mind, you always want to have something going on to shut that machine down. Very, very, very difficult. And I'm going to tell you that is part of the problem. When you don't rest this brain, you don't shut the system down, you don't recharge your batteries enough. And then eventually you're going to go, and that's where these fibromyalgias come from. That's where these internal issues come from, these fatigues, these headaches. A lot of stuff comes from stuff like that. So I think a good analogy to explain ADD is think about this. Think about a top, okay? Take a top and you spin it. The slower that top goes, what's going to happen to the top? It's going to wobble. It's going to be all over the place, right? The faster that top goes, what happens to it? Becomes more stable. So it becomes an issue in the brain where that brain needs excitement, right? Needs to constantly be stimulated. So the more stimulated or the faster you spin that top, the more stable and the more focused that brain is, okay? So the medication that you take for ADHD is a tranquilizer or a stimulant? Right. Now, why do you think you need a stimulant? Because what does a stimulant do? Makes you spin. So it keeps you more focused because it energizes the brain. All right? So as long as you're taking a stimulant, has anybody ever taken coffee and was able to focus a little bit? Right? Because it's a stimulant. Stimulants allow focus. So basically, I know Ned does horrible on the medication, talks about publicly. and but he does coffee. That's how he, you know, medicates himself. You know, and so we're talking about stimulation. So in order to stimulate yourself, adrenaline does it. The adrenal glands stimulate. So we're driven to adrenaline sports. Skydiving, I've been skydiving, hang gliding, bungee jumping, backpack through Europe, Australia, lived in Australia with a backpack on, pulled up, train, where am I going? I don't know. The adventure, right? Very adventurous. Next thing you know, next stop, Brisbane. All right, where am I going to stay? I don't know. Hey, do you know a hostel around here? Yeah, that way. Yeah, can you take me to the hostel? So just experiment life, just, you know, that every day is an adventure around the corner. That's a very stimulating thing for that brain. We're going to be drawn to that type of stuff. Another thing, what do you think an argument does? Do you think it stimulates the brain or relaxes the brain? Stimulates. So we love to argue. We'll argue about anything. Anything. So the ADD mind loves arguments. They crave it. And then what are they going to be afterwards? They're going to be tired, calm, and, oh, I'm so sorry. And then they're going to be good for like a day. Right? Until they need that stimulation again. That tends to be, you know, some of the issues with, you know, battered women or battered men. The nail. You know, so, because it's that, oh, you know, you get just a fury of adrenaline, and then, I'm so sorry, so sorry. And then it's that relaxation. It's this, and then crash, and then this, and then crash. That's why psychologically this stuff happens, because we're scratching the itch. Because if you just, if you're sitting there, if you have ADD, just sitting there, you know, talking to Susie wanting to tell you her whole life story slowly, just drives you crazy. Does it get, you get what I'm talking about Susie wants to drive you? It's like, okay, I want to tell you about my pet, you know, salamander last week. And then you're like, okay, yeah, but I got to go. Yeah, but hold on. And it's like, oh, stick a fork in my eye. Right? It's just because what happens is you need that constant stimulation. Sorry, I didn't mean to offend anybody. And then taking too many risks. So these are just kind of natural ways, and as you see, some of this is still driven to kids, but it's still natural ways that we tend to drive ourselves. So the way that I... Yeah, I'll stand over here. Is that better? All right, thanks. It took me a while to figure that out, but I did. So the way that I love to explain this with kids, and the way that I explain it to adults is this. Picture ADD like this. If I'm going to go down a hill on a sled versus going on a bobsled course, which one am I going to get down faster? Bobsled. Which one am I totally in control of where I'm going to end up? Bobsled. Because I know where my point A is, and I know where my point B is, and I know the exact direction that I'm going to take to get there. That's purpose in the adult mindset. That's parenting in the child mindset, in the child considerations. Does that make sense? So let's look at Scruffy, a dog. Now, Scruffy likes to pee on the floor. Now, how do you make Scruffy not pee on the floor? You walk Scruffy out to a certain portion in the yard. Maybe you cage him at the beginning. Then you walk him to a certain portion of the yard and you pee there, Scruffy. And then you bring him back. Do you do that once? Twice? Three times? Four times? Five times? You build it with consistency. So in a child, that's building the bobsled course. The bobsled course is built with consistency. You do something not once, not twice, but over and over and over and over again. You make it a habit of parenting, or in the adult case, of self-discipline, like color coding or something that we'll get into shortly. and then you do that over and over again, it becomes a lifestyle, and then you're building your bobsled course, then you're in total direction of where you're trying to go to get to. So that's why purpose is so life transformational, because if I know that I'm here in Boston and I'm going to get in my car and I'm going to drive west. Well, if I just drive west, after 3 weeks, I'm going to end up somewhere west. You know, you're going to take some roads, and at the end of the 3 weeks, you're going to say, oh, here's where I got. Okay, I'm west. I'm in Chicago. Versus saying, I'm here. This is where I want to get to. This is my purpose. I'm going there. And if you identify that, and it's in line with your soul purpose, who you are internally, you're going to jet fuel pack. You're going to get there. You're going to go past that direction, and your life is going to change. Where there is great success, there's also great challenge. Okay? You have to understand it's not easy to find purpose. It's really kind of it's one of those internal types of things. And when I started hearing about purpose and finding your purpose and that would help me in life, it didn't sit well with me the first few times I heard it. And then I heard it over and over and over and over again. Implemented that into my life saying, you know what? I know in order to do this stuff, you just got to do it over and over again. And then you'll be able to achieve it. You stick to it one day, the next day, the next day. And then you end up at a good place. Right? All right. So, when you look at the ADD mind, right? Actually, to kind of go back to Ned's analogy, anybody ever heard the race car engine for a brain? It's a brain with massive amount of energy. It goes. It's always thinking. It's always adapting. It wants to have a lot going on. It talks fast. It listens fast. It's a machine. It's a fast machine. But you got bicycle brakes trying to slow this thing down. So it's all over the place. A good thing, a very good thing, once you are able to harness its energy. Now, most people, when we think about the ADHD and we're in schools, which is a tough area to be, we think about the negatives, right? The distractibility, the impulsivity, the hyperactivity. Well, when you take these things and you flip them on the flip side, or you turn them to positives, and this is being recorded too, for any, just to let everybody know, you can always listen to this again. I know some people came late. Distractibility, you turn it, you got curiosity. How many people would always take things apart and always want to know how they, how they worked, and you just want to know how life works, or you're the why guy, right? You ask somebody the question, why? 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 Why does that work? You know, why do I need to drink that? Why do I need to take that? You know, oh, milk's good for me? Why? Those of you that know my milk stuff. All right. Milk's not good, no. All right, so impulsivity. Turn that on the flip side, you get creativity. Very, very creative. Now, the problem is, what do you think a creative, massive amount of energy brain in a child does? Put those two things together. Trouble with a capital T. Very manipulative. They understand life. They understand a whole lot more than you think they understand. They put things together and come up with, and they justify everything in their head. Everything's a justification. They will justify everything. Because you know what? Not my fault. No, this is why. You want to know why I got in that fight? Here, listen, right? So 3 months ago, this guy said this to this guy, and then this did this, and then remember this when I did this, and then this happened, and then this? Yeah. All right? Not my fault. You know what I mean? Because that's how we put this stuff together. The brain works, and you know, it takes a little bit from over here, and it puts it together, and then there's a reaction. And then if it's a reaction that you didn't mean, we'll justify that thing too. Well, if not, we'll come up with a justification that covers that thing. Oh, I didn't do good on that. You want to know why I didn't do good on that? The social study teacher, right? Boogers in his hair right here. I can't concentrate in class. And then he came over, he smells B.O. I'm not going there. I hate it. It's so boring. You know, so you have to understand that creativity. does this ring a bell? I mean, does it? But that creativity, you know, is great, especially when you have it with that energy for that brain. So just be very conscious of that. How do you parent that, or how do you even deal with that in your own way? You got to have tools. You got to have tools in your toolbox. And that's really what the SHINE program is. It's a way to speed up the brain naturally and then build the tools in the toolbox. For the adult patient, it's finding your why, making different nutritional considerations, and building in a word I like to call self-discipline. And we'll kind of get into some of that stuff. We're not treating disability, we're unwrapping gifts.
Oh.
So, we're going to be talking about, how many people were at the Reading event? Okay, yeah, so tonight, which is going to be different than that night, we're going to be getting in a little bit more about the nutritional component, okay? So before we kind of talked, I talked a little bit more about the overall ADHD, but I want to really tie in the nutritional component, and then one thing that this adrenal fatigue is a major portion of ADHD. It doesn't show up so much in children, right? But in adults is where you get your chronic illnesses from. So I really want to touch on that, and that's where we're going to get into these neuro motion and the, whatever. So it's metabolic shift, which is the way that you eat, which you put into your body. Neural integrated movements, it's exercises, specific exercises that are tailored to helping the brain develop in a very specific way. And then the neural efficiencies, which is what we'll talk about right now. Now, this is when somebody comes into this office, it really is this simple. This is the nail in the head for me, okay? And I know, I see thousands and thousands of different people, and they're like, no, it can't be that simple. It's not this simple. It is this simple. Now, you remember, your health and well-being is what? It's an adaptation of what?
Mindset.
Your mindset, right? So it's an adaptation of your daily rituals. Your body adapts to your daily rituals. It adapts to your brain. It adapts to your emotional stress that you put yourself under. It adapts to the nutritional stress that you put yourself under. It adapts to the physical stress that you put yourself under. Okay? Now, the way that body adapts is it adapts with the nervous system that's called your autonomic nervous system. Anybody familiar with your autonomic nervous system? Autonomic nervous system is what controls absolutely everything in the human body. Everything. It controls heart, lungs. So when you have to run from a tiger, what happens is your adrenal system turns on, right? And it gets you the heck out of there. So your heart rate changes, your respiratory rate changes, your blood vessels change, your digestive system change, your reproductive system changes. All of that stuff is on autopilot. Your autonomic nervous system controls all of that, okay? So you have two states in your body. You have a state of when you're running from a tiger, which is called survival. Does that make sense? Survival. Then you have a state that's called development, growth and development. So this state would be, if I'm going to sleep, do you grow when you sleep, or do you run from a tiger when you sleep? This is a more relaxed state. So we have different systems. We have the systems over here. The survival systems are musculoskeletal system, respiratory system, cardiovascular system. So think about somebody in Wall Street. They're going to be like this. They're going to be stressed out to the max. Their shoulders are going to be at their ears, and they're going to have this physiology. You tell me what's going on, and they'll, what? They're very moody, I guess you can call it. They're very short-tempered. The short-term memory goes out the door because they can't remember things because they're always in this survival state. Make sense? This is an adrenal state here. Cortisol state over here. Anybody heard these terms before? Can't lose weight because your cortisol levels are high. This is this state. High blood pressure, fibromyalgia. This is all over here. Your growth and development states. What do you think some growth and development systems are? Immune system is a major one. The flu doesn't go anywhere during the summertime. What's flu season? It doesn't go anywhere during the summertime. It's always here. And why do we jack ourselves up with that stuff? It's because our body is going to more survival. Right. Gets away from the immune system, gets suppressed. So what are other systems that are associated with immune suppression? There's three big ones. Digestive system. It's no coincidence that you have an issue with your digestive system and your immune system at the same time. And then the last one? What's that? Nervous system's controlling everything. Reproductive system. Infertility, hormone issues, sex drive, everything, reproductive issues. So this is one state over here, and then this is another state. The body balances between the two based on your lifestyle and your daily habits. So I know when somebody comes in with what they come in with, I know what state that they're in. So I know immediately how to address them health-wise. A lot of times people come in here, and it's very difficult for me to get them healthy because I have to address the state that they're in. Where do you think the ADHD mind lives? Here or here? What do you think?
Survival.
So what does that do health-wise? So I know that a child and more so an adult, I know how to recognize a fast brain when I see the state. So I know that when I start working with somebody, this is a patient explained this to me, chiropractic to me, in a way that I understood it. A way that I could explain it, and it really makes sense. So he said, picture this. And he just did this the other day, 2 days ago. And I'm like, oh, brilliant. So picture driving down a road, and we just had a snowstorm, and there's 4 inches of snow on the road, which is interference. And you need to go to the mall, right? You drive from your house, nice, get those boots, you need to go to the mall. So if you're driving in 4 inches of snow, do you think you're going to be able to drive fast? No, there's a lot of interference all over the road. Well, that interference in my mind through the spine is life. The car is a life force. Now, chiropractic is like, or removing that nerve interference is like putting a plow in front of you, getting all that interference out of the way, and what's going to happen? You're going to be able to move more efficiently. Life is going to be able to flow faster. The body is going to be able to regulate here and here more effectively. What do you think is going to happen to the brain? Is it going to speed up or slow down? Speed up, exactly. Because what's happening is you're getting an enormous amount of stimulation up into the brain, and it's constantly getting spun, I guess you could say. When you start to take that spin away from the brain and you slow it down, neurologically, emotionally, what do you think happens to a child or an adult now that craves stimulation? What do you think happens to them? They get what? Depressed. That is why depression runs rampant with people with ADHD and anxiety, because their brains need that stimulation. To them, they have unexplained underachievement in their failures, and then they slow down, and then it internalizes into the muscles, into the GI tracts. The GI tracts are gas and bloating. And I'm sitting here, and they're like, yeah, doc, can you take care of this right here? I'm like, oh, my God. No, we need to address where you are. Your state, you're not even at a place to be able to heal. What do you mean? I don't understand. No, I've never heard this before. No, mm-mm. Right here. I'm like, whew. You know, so this is a little bit of a different message that I'm trying to get across with Atlantis. It's more of a let's reestablish life to the system, and then I'm going to show you how to kind of nurture that. Does that make sense? So, excuse me? Yeah. Yeah. Second door, yeah. Oh, boy. I went, how much time do I have? 15 more minutes. All right, well, I could go till 10 o'clock, so. All right, I love this stuff. I could give this conversation. I'm giving that at anybody wants to come to a ladies' night from Marvin Windows, I got to give a talk there in 10 minutes. Patrick, me giving a talk in 10 minutes. If you need to leave, you can just go.
Can I ask you a quick question? Just
go ahead.
To clarify, so if you're using the analogy of like chiropractic care is like sort of you're like plowing the road, clearing up so that I can get to the mall quicker. So the chiropractic care is you're sort of clearing up the energy channels, so to speak, or like making me more well so that the brain will operate quicker or slower?
Right here. Okay. All right. So, this is, sorry, this is kind of important. So what I'll do is I'll send this to you guys. All right, perfect. So what happens here, I talked a lot, but what happens here is the biggest consideration that we need to make is this vermis. See this right here? That is the back part of the brain. And here's your prefrontal cortex. That's the front part of your brain. The prefrontal cortex, that's executive function. That is where your brakes live. Your ability to drop something on the floor, go, and just walk right past it, right? Like the ADHD mind wants to do, just forget about it. Your ability to stop, pick it up, and throw it away is done by this prefrontal cortex. This is where we become smart. This is where our executive function lies. Okay? Now, the vermis, its design, one of the designs, is to build the prefrontal cortex, is to make it strong, is to make it big, to make it strength, right? Now, an undeveloped vermis, which happens in the ADHD mind, is going to give you an undeveloped prefrontal cortex. So when this is small, this is small. Right? Small, small. Small, small. That's bad. Bad, small, small, bad. Right? Now, how do you build the vermis is what becomes important. What builds the vermis? Well, the vermis is built through proprioception, through awareness of yourself in space. So there are special senses through the spine. 85% of all the space awareness receptors are in the spine. So what happens is when the spine is out of alignment or not moving due to scar tissue or degeneration, those sensors, or you know, core strength, those sensors don't engage, so the vermis becomes undeveloped, so the prefrontal cortex is undeveloped, right? So what the chiropractic does is it opens up those flows, it opens up that flow, improves spinal mechanics, builds this, and then in conjunction you get smarter, you become more focused. That's basically what happens. So when you start getting adjusted, you can't explain it, but you're just thinking differently. Things are clearer, and you're seeing things. You can smell. It's because you're improving the way the function of the brain works. Does that make sense? And then, another big thing neurologically is you have a right side of the brain and you have a left side of the brain. Okay? Now, there's something in the middle here that's called the corpus callosum. It allows the right and the left side of the brain to communicate. So, not to kind of bust you out, because I'm one of them. Who in this room thinks they have ADHD? Raise your hand, be proud. All right. Now, of those people, keep your hands up. Raise your hand. Thank you. Raise your hand. I know you don't. That's all right. But, of those people, who has a mixed dominance? So mixed dominance means who's right-handed and can kick left-footed, who is very ambidextrous. Yeah. So what happened? Okay, you can put your hands down. So what happened? That's a really big key on having kind of a neurological mix-up. Usually what happens is, and there are ways that we test for this mixed dominance in the evaluation, but you're right-handed, you're right-footed, you're right-eyed, you're right-eared, so usually it's called fully lateralized. In the ADHD, what happens is, sometimes they walk in their toes, they kick righty, they use their left hand, so I didn't know if my child was a righty or a lefty, and then they switch. It's that type of stuff. That's because the connections between the brain is not it's so efficient. Yes? Did you ever? Oh, just scratching. So it's just not so efficient. So what happens is kind of get this little neurological mix-up. And that becomes very important in the treatment and diagnosis of ADHD, because what happens is we usually see the ADHD child or adult be more right brain, right hemisphericity, so they tend to live in that little right brain. They got a weak right brain. So when that happens, you have a weak stomach. So that's why the nutritional considerations become a really large part of working with somebody with ADHD, because ultimately, just because of the way that the brain works and the efficiency of the brain, you're not your digestive system is undeveloped. Same thing with, and I know I keep using ADHD, but it's the same thing with autism. It's the same thing with executive function disorders. A lot of these disorders, brain, digestive system, immune system, those three systems are all related. Let's say you have fibromyalgia, it's the same thing that's related. So a lot of these consistencies in how the brain's connected to the GI tract, it makes a big consideration. And when you adjust, you improve that efficiency. Okay, so a big thing is when you're working with connecting the right and left side of the brain, hand-eye coordination, doing a lot of, like, we give exercises, juggling, wobble board type of exercises. So through the SHINE program, we want to make those considerations. But the problem is you can't juggle once. And if you're not good at it, because a lot of the things that I will give a child to do, or a lot of things I will give an adult to do, guess what? You're not going to be good at it. Why will you not be good at it? Because your brain doesn't work that way. And I know that. So I hate doing things that are like, I hated skill work, right? So, you know, in soccer, they make you like kick this way and kick this way and kick this way and kick this way. I hated it. So I don't like skill work in my adult life. So when I was finding out all this information, I'm like, oh, no wonder why I'm driven to these sports. But I will do a sport, or I will get something that I would like to do, and I'll do it all the time. So for instance, to work on balance, I got a unicycle. So I learned how to unicycle, right? I'm a big mountain biker, and I'm the best one in mountain biking. I can go up a mountain, I can stop, I can bounce. I can go this way, I can stop, if somebody gets out of my way, I can bounce, and I can go up, because I practice day in and day out. I could come here, I could bring my tire up on this, I can jump up onto that, because I like to be able to stop and balance. It's fun. Now, you do that, you know, you got through this program, we got to find something that you like to do, and then we bring that into your life. And you don't do it once. You don't do it twice. You do it for how long? The rest of your life. If you want to continue to do this stuff, you've got to stay consistent and have some self-discipline. Thanks. You know, just to kind of reiterate, these types of children that typically have the weak brain, or even adults, clumsy, incredibly loving behavior, they're going to be adrenaline junkies, stomach aches, risk takers, you know, super picky eaters sometimes, you know, extreme friendliness, very impulsive. This is the nature of that individual. Life of the party, sometimes expressive, not always. You know, and there are also other considerations that can be the other way too. But typically, that tends to be if they have ADHD or they have that brain in their life, left hemisphere, see, it's going to kind of be they're going to be great drawers, hard time breastfeeding, shy, very intuitive, lack of motivation, struggle with expression. So you can have the consideration both ways, this becomes a little bit harder to diagnose when you have ADHD and you have a left hemisphericity. That's a little bit. And then the physical pillars, we'll go over that. Metabolic shift, this is what I wanted to get to. So remember, when you have ADHD, it's extremely important to understand the neurology, right? Build the vermis, back part of the brain, do exercises. It's extremely important to get adjusted. Adjusted increases the flow, speeds up the brain. Another major consideration that we need to make are nutritional considerations. And you have to understand, nutritional considerations need to be made because of the connection between the GI tract, the immune system, and the brain. Most people blame food on everything. You can't really do that. It's not fair because food is an issue. Food's a major issue. But if our body is in this state, we're going to react to food one way. If our body is in this state, we're going to react to food another way. The thing is, too, is food can draw you to the state, right? What's a food that you think draws you to the state? Sugar, right? But what did I tell you? I said anything that speeds up the system, you know, should make you more calm, right? Well, isn't that that's counterintuitive, because I'm telling you that, you know, sugar is speeding up the system, right? It doesn't speed up the brain. It slows the brain down and speeds up all this energy, internal system. Slows the brain down because of the way that it affects it, and it speeds this up. You slow that top down, you wobble it, and it is all over the place. That's kind of the issue with sugar. And there's so many other issues with sugar, but that's one of the problems with sugar, is it gives you nervous energy inside because it's the way that it's stimulating the body. Now, other major considerations to be made are food that we're eating. Is the food we're eating more toxic or less toxic as we kind of go into the future, now and into the future? More toxic, right? So those toxins, because of inflammatory type of issues or what's happening in our GI tract called leaky gut, I don't have a lot of time to go into that, causes inflammation in your GI tract. That inflammation in your GI tract opens these passages for all of these toxins to rush through and go right up into your brain, and they slow down the neurotransmitters in the brain. So if you slow down the neurotransmitters in the brain, you think that speeds the brain up or slows it down? Slows it down. A neurotransmitter is you have a nerve, it ends here and it begins here, and then there's a little substance that goes from here to here, and it's the way that things communicate. A neurotransmitter, if it goes real quick, that's good, that's fast, that's speed, that's good for the brain. If it goes slow, that's bad. Well, from the distance from here to here, if you have toxins and sugars, it interferes with the ability for it to go across that barrier, messes up the brain, slows it down, you're all over the place. So the digestive tract plays a huge role in muscle tension and in lack of focus and stuff like that. So what you need to make the considerations are, first off, you have to understand having ADHD causes your stomach to be a little bit more sensitive anyways. Gluten, or the galactic protein, that's more specifically found in wheat, even more specifically, that wheat that's found in the United States, causes a process called leaky gut syndrome, inflames your GI tract, opens up those passages, and fogs the heck out of your thinking. Gives you stinking thinking. So you have to understand, the first part about going through a program is understanding that there's an issue. If the why is big enough, the what will not matter. It is not easy to pull gluten out of your diet. You know, if you've done it for a while, you see that it becomes easy. And not that you have to go gluten-free for the rest of your life, but you really should be gluten-reduced. Because that wheat, and you're a carb junkie. Because what happens is you crave them. When you eat a carbohydrate or a gluten protein, there's a chemical that's made that goes from your stomach to your brain. It's called a gluteomorphin. What does gluteomorphin sound like? Morphine. Is morphine addictive? Yes. So you create a chemical addiction to the food that you're eating. So gluten does it, dairy does it, sugar does it. You create these addictions, so you crave these foods. Do you think it's easy to break an addiction or hard to break an addiction? It's very difficult to break an addiction. And because of ADHD, you have a tendency to be an addictive personality because you get so involved in something. You love that feeling. And so you become drawn to all these foods. So you will self-medicate yourself by being a carb junkie. You'll stuff your face. That's bad. Don't do that. Good. I think we understood that one. Now, another thing is brain, different types of things. I mean, there's choline, there's different amino acids and different considerations we do. Now we're bringing testing into the office. We're doing blood testing. You take we send you to Winchester Hospital, take two vials of blood, send that to Texas, fully analyze it, because in the ADHD brain, there are different considerations we need to do. We do a full nutritional profile on it, vitamins, fatty acids, amino acids, antioxidants. And then we do an immune system profile. We get that back, and then we can see exactly what you are deficient in versus having to take multivitamins. I believe we take way too many vitamins in this country. So we're doing that blood testing. We just launched, we're launching February 1st. And there are all these nutritional considerations that we really want to make. And one of them is fatty acids, things that speed up the brain. You know, everybody heard of omega-3s and omega-6s. Well, what those things do, those make these neurotransmitters more effective. They make them work faster. So the foods that allow the brain to function more effectively and to increase the neurotransmitter speed are things that are going to allow you to become more focused. Live foods, fruits, vegetables. You know, if you have ADD and you put yourself on a probiotic, which is a digestive bacteria, you want to bring probiotic. You put yourself on a probiotic. You take yourself off of gluten, right? You decrease all that intestinal inflammation. And then you start juicing. Anybody know what juicing is? Not like Tropicana, open it up and, you know, put... That's not juicing. Juicing is, you know, getting fruits and vegetables, put it in a blender, juice it down, and drink it. You have focus, energy. You have an amazing mind that unleashes its potential. Creative thinking, all of that stuff comes once you pull yourself and you get yourself clean. And, you know, that really is the essence behind the SHINE program. It's first analyzing somebody's entire nervous system, seeing how effective it is with the technology, in an adult or a child. Getting direction, trying to figure out, we need to find a why. We need to find a direction that we try to go in. You know, so there are different procedures that we go through with that. Get the exercises that are right for you and do them over and over and over again. Then what we want to do is we want to make nutritional considerations. We make those nutritional considerations, and at the beginning, when you first start this, so let's say I adjust somebody, right? Is an adjustment going to make a body more efficient or less efficient, as given you the example of that I mentioned? It's going to make it more efficient, right? So if I'm going to make it more efficient, and we're living here, I want a rock, right? And I'm living over here in this sympathetically, adrenally driven world. And I'm saying being over here is going to drain your system, make it unhealthy eventually. The adjustment, making the body more efficient, is going to stimulate healing or interfere with healing? It's going to stimulate healing. Where do I got to take this system to stimulate healing? Over here, to the growth and development. Now, when I'm here, where do you think I am? Do you think I have a lot of energy over here? No. Horrible. You think I'm able to focus right, real good over here? No, not really. Not the beginning. Do you think I'm awake? Yeah, I get so much. No. You're tired. You run down. You feel horrible. What'd you do to me, Doc? You're supposed to give me all this energy. I'm here. Well, the problem is you've been here for so long, rocking, right? Or, and then what happens is once I stimulate this over here, the problem is you start to crash. Your colds, your intestinal issues start to spike up, and you start to not feel so good. But you have to go through this process. I guide you through that process. That's why I'll send people to talks like this. I'm going to be giving a talk like this once a month. Next month it's going to be Nutrition 101, Why Food Labels Are Killing Us. I believe everybody looks at a food label, and they look at the food label for the wrong things. So I'm committed to doing this once a month. Next one's going to be February 20th. Anna, can you pass those out now? So what Anna's going to pass out is there are notes from this talk that give you the top 50 tips of managing yourself with ADHD. Okay? I highlighted them. So these are the ones that I made, the considerations that I made. Then there's also a sheet in there talking about the nutritional testing. We're full for this for February, but if somebody wants to do it, we'll be testing again in March. I have to analyze every single one of these, and then I sit down and I have to go over them with each individual one. So I can only do so many a month. So we'll be doing them in groups. I'm also a nutritionist and an exercise physiologist, so that's why this is so appealing to me. And then on the last, so what do we have here? This here, then that. And then on the front, you'll see this thing. Anybody that got the, so anybody that wants to come in for a SHINE evaluation, right, whether it's you, whether it's your child, whether you know a child that wants to do it, obviously, considering the amount of people that that are interested in the program, you just got to give us some time. But just write on there, check the time that you want to, you know, you'd want to come in, the person that you'd want to make the appointment for. The SHINE evaluation is $99. That includes all the neurological testing, doing the stuff on the technology, and taking any X-rays if I need to. A lot of times I don't need to. If you're a patient and we've done this, you're here because I recognize that you have some of these traits, and we're going to be addressing those starting now and moving forward. And then also, if you want to listen to this again, or if you did not receive that email that I talked about at the beginning, check that you didn't receive the email on there, and put your email address on there, and then when I do these talks, you'll get an email and you'll be in this talk group, right? Or this ADHD group. I hate sending out emails to everybody when people aren't interested in some of the stuff. So I'm creating kind of little email groups, right? So this one would be if you want to receive this talk, right? The talk that I'm recording right now, if you want to receive it, and you didn't receive the email, just click that, check that off, and then put your name on there. Okay? Yes. The slide presentation will be available, yes. I will be emailing the slide presentation out. Okay? You'd have to go through the talk. Yeah, it will be available. I'll be sending it out. Yes?
How young for children do you need to do
evaluation? Oh, yes. How young? 7? 8? I've done as young as 5. See, here's my deal. I'm very selective when I've taken a child on. I need to know that the parents are the ones that are building the structure and the framework. So it's so much different. I mean, than bringing on an adult. So it's, I mean, we've done a lot of Shine evaluations, and we have, you know, not everybody is a good fit for Shine. But I will take a child, whether I think they're a good fit for the program or not, would, you know, something else. So my thing is if you're even questioning it, just have an evaluation, and then we can, at least the input that I give you is worth it. Yes. Yes. Regardless, the way that I do it is, see, insurance covers some of it, doesn't cover some of it, you know what I mean? So to keep insurance out of it, right, and you know, because it gets confusing, and to keep that price down, that's why I do it like that. So regardless if I have to take x-rays, not take x-rays, the neurological stuff, a lot of insurance they don't like to cover under a chiropractic model. So I just say, you know, it's $99, regardless if you have insurance or not. We keep it off of insurance. Then what happens is, if we decide we want to go into a program or do something, everything's explained, then we bring insurance in then, because then it covers a lot of it. Any other questions on any of the material? No, I never talked about the sympathetic and parasympathetic relationship when it comes to ADHD and how it can cause the fibromyalgia, how it can cause high cholesterol, the way that the ADHD person responds is in a sympathetic world. When you're in a sympathetic world, you're going to be more likely to have chronic illness as you get older. So just understanding that relationship is what I tried to highlight. Thank you, Carmen. Now, I like to do this because this helps me. If there was one takeaway, right, so something that you think I should bring to the next talk that helped you, you know, maybe think a little bit different or... You're like, you know what, that made sense to me. Would there be anything that you could give me just a quick little feedback? Yes?
I like the piece around turning the negative into the positive, because it really brings to the forefront. So I'm giving this to my child with a lot of dependency, and it helps reframe the thinking on it. And I think that's probably one of the best things to take out.
Great. Anybody else?
I like the Ferrari analogy with the brakes, especially if you're going to talk to a kid. I think they
Mm-hmm. Good, great. Anybody else? Yes? Great. It is the way the brain is. It's the brain. You're not changing it. You're not getting rid of it. And you don't want to get rid of it either. Yes?
I think the idea of what you're talking about, specific exercise,
interventions and tools and ways to kind of try to harness and redirect and find ways to help structure that thought process, I think is really helpful and is not only explaining it, but also trying to give tools to try to manage the situation. So I think that's really helpful.
Good. Thank you. Anything I can add to the next one? Any comments that would have helped you? All right, great. It was a perfect lecture. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time, guys. Sorry about going over. Thank you. Nice to see you too.
Oh. I want to get wet.
Evaluated. Yeah, evaluated. Absolutely. And a lot of it is him, isn't it? Oh, boy, yeah.
You know what was
Let me just shut this off.